The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you this second week back in the parish. And it's exciting to be in the great adventure of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, there is a cosmic battle that is underway every second, every moment of our lives. And it is a battle between good and evil, and they both exist. And good has already triumphed. This is our profession of faith, that Jesus Christ has died, that He is risen from the dead, and that He comes in glory. And that we who are baptized into His death live with Him. So we stand with the victor in history. But we also know that history is a place where things are still being worked out. So there is a conflict that we have to be aware of as Christians. And it is a supernatural conflict. In the Gospel today, in the 6th chapter of Mark, we hear of the first sending of the disciples. And when we look at the Gospels are like icons that we are called to contemplate, and through which the light of the Holy Spirit illuminates our own hearts, and we start to see who Christ is. And so when we see something in a gospel, it can take us to another point in the gospel, sometimes back, sometimes forward. And so this time in chapter 6 of Mark, we should remember the first time the Lord called the disciples. When it says He ascended the mountain to pray, He called those whom He desired, and He made them 12. The King James Version of Sacred Scripture translates, "He ordained them 12." The first gesture of our Lord in regard to those that He called to be His apostles was He prayed to God the Father for them. He prayed for the victory that would be His gift to them and for their fidelity to the gospel, of which they would be the witnesses to the ends of the earth. And He consecrated them to God. In the apostolic identity, in the language of Scripture, we hear that their names are listed and that they are made 12. And this is an echo of the Old Testament, of the consecration of the priests and of the call of the prophets. And so in the apostles, the identity of the prophet and the identity of the priest are united. So the apostles of our Lord Jesus are those who are consecrated and set apart by God, those who will offer the sacrifice of praise of the church, and they are also called to announce the gospel. So these two dimensions of the apostolic ministry, of announcing the gospel or the prophetic identity, and at the same time receiving authority over unclean spirits, casting out all that is not of God, of demonic forces, and claiming and curing the children of God for God Himself. This is the prophetic and the priestly authority that Christ has given to the apostles, to his successors, and to the baptized. All the baptized are sharers in the priestly and prophetic authority of Jesus Christ. And in a particular way, those who are called to the sacrament of holy orders, deacons, priests, and bishops. But today, the church wishes us to receive a particular gift. And it is the gift of freedom. And freedom is not first something that we do. Freedom is not first something we create. Freedom is not fundamentally first a choice. Freedom is an identity. Freedom is a gift that God gives us before the foundation of the world, so that God has chosen us in His Son, in His Beloved, to set us apart, that we might be holy and presented to Him. Within that context, our identity is so precious to God that He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood which is a sign of our life becoming one with God's life. So that just as in Exodus chapter 24, when Israel is at the base of Mount Sinai and Moses sprinkles the Hebrew people with the blood and he says, "This is the blood of the covenant." So the letter to the Ephesians is speaking to us that we have been covenanted. The law of God has been cut into our hearts. We have been claimed by God in Jesus Christ. And He has imparted to us the mystery, the gift, that we are children of God, that this world does not have the final claim on us, that this world is not the greatest power, that we are called for eternity. We are called to have eternal life with God. And that force, sometimes which expresses itself as angst, sometimes which can even express itself as disappointment or anger when things don't work out in the here and now, is a way of us understanding that our hearts are not meant to be content here. Our hearts are not meant to be satisfied here, because only God satisfies the human heart. But that satisfaction, the satisfaction that comes from God, does begin here. The gift of receiving the Lord's love, the gift of abiding in the Holy Spirit, begins in the here and now. And when we receive that gift, when we walk in the authority of having been claimed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which means being redeemed from the powers and the principalities of darkness that still exist, that still oppose God, that still oppose the church, and still oppose you and me. But we are not captive to them, because we have been claimed by God. And so we are free. Freedom then begins with receiving our identity as children of God. As children of God, we are called to hear the word, and we are called to be delivered from evil, and we are called to receive the healing power of God. These are the fruits of the apostolic ministry, and even the baptized, those of us who come here every Sunday, we are still in need of those gifts. The Word of God is always living and active, and we are called to be ever attentive to the way that the Word of God in sacred Scripture speaks to us. And when there are dark moments in our lives, when we are tormented by anger or resentment or fear, the sacred Scriptures become a weapon in the spiritual life, because the words are inspired. The words are not our words. They're the words of God spoken through the words of men and through the life of the church. And so we can lift up the sacred page, perhaps even in this first chapter of Ephesians, and we can speak those sacred words out loud. We can claim our identity and cast from us evil and allow those sacred words to bring the peace of the Holy Spirit and the ordering of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. So sacred Scripture, speaking the sacred word, praying with the word, is not only a gift to us that teaches us who we are, it's also an important weapon in the spiritual battle. We are called to be delivered from evil. My brothers and sisters, evil is not something we are to be afraid of. The Lord says 365 times, or maybe 366, depending on how you count, and if it's a leap year, be not afraid in sacred scripture. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to be a child of God. Be not afraid to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Be not afraid to profess that you're a Christian in season and out of season. Be not afraid because you've been claimed by God and because you have been redeemed, purchased at a great price. You've been covered by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, which means that we are no longer bound to the powers and principalities of this world. We are claimed by God. We are called to invoke the authority of the Holy Spirit that we have received and the authority of Jesus Christ who claims us. At times when we can enter into depression, when we can fight with anger that might be rising up in our hearts, it's important to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, you are stronger than death and you are stronger than these spirits of evil that torment me now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, help me to be patient with my wife. Lord Jesus, give me the tenderness of your heart so that I don't bring the anger of the office to the house. Lord Jesus, help me to be a good father. Lord Jesus, help me be a faithful wife. Help me to be thankful for my husband and to see through his weaknesses, not to deny them, but to call out the best that is in him. Help me to be a fair and faithful mother and spouse. My brothers and sisters, when we are tormented in the day, and every day we can be, it is important that we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. It is the name of Jesus that is above every other name, and is the identity, the gift that we have received being children of God. And what is the fruit of the proclamation of the word, of being delivered from evil? Healing. My brothers and sisters, we are all so in need of healing. Myself included. To call upon the grace and the mercy of God to transform our wounds and our fears, our regrets and our doubts, into the places that we most encounter Him. St. Paul is the great witness of the tenderness and the almighty power of God to transform weaknesses into strengths. So that we have heard recently from the second letter to Corinthians, those sacred words of Jesus Christ to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for the power is made perfect in weakness." My brothers and sisters, the power is the Holy Spirit. And the authority that unleashes that power is the invocation of the sacred name of Jesus Christ. We must be not afraid of anything or anyone or any power in this world, for we have been claimed by God. And we must minister to each other the authority that we have received. Be ministers of peace. Be ministers of reconciliation. To not be afraid to take our loved ones aside, our friends at the office, and to say, "Can I speak a word of prayer with you? I know you're having a hard day. I can tell by the look in your face. I'm having a hard day too. Can we just pray together, just for a minute?" The prayer doesn't have to be complicated. The prayer can simply be, "Lord Jesus, I trust in you." My brothers and sisters, we are called to be witnesses of love, witnesses of the authority of the proclamation of the word, witnesses of the authority of Jesus Christ to deliver us from evil, and the power of his love to bring healing to us, and to our families, and to this world. This is the great mystery that we profess. It is the gift of freedom that begins first in our identity, and the gift of freedom that we are called to unleash benevolently and gratuitously to all the hearts that we meet this day and every day. Jesus, I trust in you.